All right, everybody encouraged about what's happening around here at Cross Point? I tell you, one of the most exciting times of the year as we approach the fall and all that it brings to offer. So just be a part, get engaged, and your life will change because of it. I don't believe your life is changed by just sitting on the sideline and watching the game, but really life change happens when you get in the game, when you get on the field, when you run the play that God's called for you to do. And so really excited about the opportunities around here. I just want to encourage you to jump in and avail yourself of all the opportunities we have here at Cross Point. Well, today we are concluding our series on Teach Us to Pray, a four-part series that we've been in, along with us doing a 21 days of prayer here at Cross Point, where we've been praying every day of the week, engaging with other churches via a live stream, a prayer service every morning. And I hope that all of you have really been availing yourself of that and connecting with us. It's been a powerful time. Great time, actually, yesterday in concluding that prayer. And but as we move forward, though, I want to encourage you that this doesn't end here, but actually becomes a lifestyle of prayer. I hope that you caught the spirit of prayer and can continue on in praying faithfully, continuing every day. But the goal of this series has simply been this. It's really one goal in mind, and that is to help you pray better. Because I know that there's a lot of times where we just don't know how to pray. And in fact, the disciples, if you feel, well, that's a little embarrassing, the disciples had the same issue because they even asked the Lord, teach us to pray, when they heard him pray, knowing that something was different about his prayer. And so it's just a series, a practical series to help you with that. I know sometimes we get embarrassed when we're called on to pray, or if you're in one of those circles where, you know, everybody takes a turn and you're holding hands in that holy circle, you know, and they pump your hand when it's your turn, and you just do the double pump, pump, pump. You know, I'll just pass it on because I don't want to lead in prayer, you know. we want to just kind of help you with that and help you understand that prayer, it's not something to be intimidated by, but it's actually something to be enjoyed as a lifestyle of prayer. And so let's get right into your message notes. Those are there also in your worship guide that you can follow along, fill in some blanks there as we go through this. But let's look at the first verse there that we base this series off of, found in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, where it says that one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray," just as John taught his disciples. And so that's the theme of this series. Part one, we looked at the difference. They looked at Jesus and said something's different, and we talked about in week one about how it's about relationship. That's when Jesus began to teach them how to pray, it began with our Father. It is a relationship. It's not just words. It's not how pretty your prayer is. You're not impressing God with your much speaking and how good you put words together. But it's based upon relationship, right, everybody? It's all about relationship. In part two, we looked at the fact that Jesus went on to say that when we pray, we're to pray, your will be done. And so we begin with God's agenda, not our agenda. We're not the only one that has a prayer list. God has a prayer list. We need to discover what that prayer list is and begin to pray his agenda. Last week, we talked about the pattern of prayer and really went through all 7 points of the Lord's prayer. And really, it's not just repeating the Lord's prayer, but he lays out an outline. He lays out a plan for us to follow and this pattern for us to follow. And when we do that, it produces power when we begin to just pray the pattern that Jesus taught us how to pray. Today, We're looking at, I'm going to call this, really, this is day 22. We just came through 21 days of prayer. Well, today's day 22. And so we're going to look at, what do you do day 22, 23, and 24, and how to make this thing a lifestyle. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 says this, that one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. They should always pray and never give up. In fact, another verse puts it this way. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Never stop praying." Never stop praying. If you need a verse to memorize, that's a good one. You know, as a child, you used to choose the easiest verse to memorize. Everybody remember that one? It was "Jesus wept." Well, here's another one right along with that. It's called, "Never stop praying." And that's what the enemy would love for you to do. But I want to tell you, powerful things happen when you make life a lifestyle of praying. And so the goal here is that it's just simply to make prayer a part of our lives every day. In fact, I just want to say that I want us to be a praying church. What will cause this church to experience the phenomenal blessings of God is not us flashing some lights, singing some songs. And weren't these guys on fire today? I mean, give it up. Come on. Yeah, come on. Yeah, a little bit better than that. Give them some love. They're phenomenal. They were on fire. They told me, we're pulling out some stops today, Pastor. But even in all of that and all the phenomenal preaching, I always wait for the response of that. I'm getting better. I did that last week and got one. But anyway, listen, none of that is good enough. We're not good enough. I'm going to tell you, we can have it all and ring all the bells, and none of it's good enough. We need the Spirit of God upon it. Can I get a good amen right in there? We need His presence. We need His power. We need His anointing. We need His Spirit. And that only comes by connecting to Him through this thing called prayer that God's given to us. I heard someone say, if your church was run by a big power cord out on the curb of your front of your church and all these technical things, you know, run on that, if you pull that plug, what would you have left? I want to tell you what the plug that needs to be connected is the power plug to the throne room of God called prayer. So let me emphasize it again. Never stop praying. We need to be a praying church. In fact, Jesus said that His Father's house should be called a house of prayer. I often thought maybe we shouldn't call it Crosspoint Worship Center. Maybe we should call it Crosspoint Prayer Center, you know? But really, we need to be a praying church. And the church, we need prayer intercessors. And we need to be a praying church. In fact, I want people out here every week in our church praying. Now, some churches, they have them behind the wall here and back in rooms during the service, praying and interceding while the service is going on. I think that's a cool idea. But we don't have that right now. And actually, I could use encouragement of every one of you in the seats. But what I'm praying is that we get somebody in this section and in this section and in this section to be the intercessors over your section. Come on. And then praying over this section up here. And let's be a praying, interceding church and cover each other with prayer. We begin the first of the year here at Crosspoint in a 21 days of prayer and fasting. In August, we do a 21 days of prayer. We say you don't have to fast if you don't want to, unless God leads you. You can call it prayer and feasting if you want to. That's okay. But we feel like in the middle of the summer, we get into the summer slump. We need to get back on track. We're getting ready. We're cultivating the ground for a harvest that's coming. And so we emphasize prayer. Sundays, we have 9 o'clock prayer. I encourage you, come early. Pray over service. We had it on Saturdays. It seemed like that was convenient enough for you. So we're putting it on Sunday. You're coming anyway. Just get up a little earlier and come and pray with us over the service and believe in God for great things. Be a part of this. And so, and it may be you might want to be a part of a small group. You just heard we're going to be launching small groups in a couple of weeks. I want to encourage you. Maybe you'd like to lead a small group. After you've been praying for 21 days, it may be that God's laid on your heart, hey, this is my thing. This is, I feel like God's called me to this thing, and maybe God would have you to lead a small group. Today, we're having small group leadership training after church. Encourage you to be a part of that and do this thing. And then we could do some, we've done this around here, some prayer walking. You know what prayer walking is? It's just walking through some areas of our city where there's need and praying over. But I've heard about a church that the crime had went up every year since 1966 until recently, until a few years back. And the church began to enter into prayer walking. They actually united with other churches, and the police would escort them. They'd go into high crime areas, and they would pray. And they said that ever since then that the prayer has come down half every year since they started praying. Come on, somebody. Prayer makes a difference. I saw some things going on in here in Charlotte, and I was thinking, we need to do some prayer walking up inside of here. I saw a live feed of some things going on here in Charlotte. There's some needs here in our own city. We need to be prayer walking. In fact, I could get some people right here in this service that could tell you that there was some prayer walking done in some of our apartments. And guess what? Since then, it's yielded up some people from those apartments that have come here, discovered Christ, given their life to the Lord, serving Him on the dream team, because I believe prayer makes a difference. And look, right up front, I didn't plan on spending this much time right here, but let me just park here. I just feel God leading me to say this, and we'll move through and we'll get you out of here on time, but just relax. But let me just say this. We need to be a praying church. My wife shared with me, and she said, I don't like sharing with you everything I'm praying about, because she feels like, you know, it's bragging a little bit or whatever. She said, but I just feel like I need to tell you how I'm praying. And her prayer is shifting. where she, and it's in, and she's in this, we talked about this last week when we talked about the pattern of prayer, about that spiritual warfare part of prayer. And she said, I've been praying that whatever binds our church in the heavenlies will be released. You know, the Bible tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness of the air. And she's been praying off this whatever is on people's marriages, whatever is over their children, whatever is over hindering their finances and their jobs, and whatever is affecting their physical condition. And she's just been praying, God, we break that in the name of Jesus. And we break that off your people. And we free them in the name of Jesus. And pray your spirit come in. Not just empty them out, but God, now fill them with your Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, we need to be realizing we're in a spiritual warfare. And if we're going to win this thing, we need to be working harder than the devil does. And that is, we need to be praying with an all-sufficient, almighty God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And it's in his power and his might that we're going to win. Can I get a good amen right there? Amen. Amen. And so let me just break this down. Let me just kind of calm down here because I'm excited. Can you tell I'm excited about this? But let me just give you some practical things that I believe will help you in living this out and following this as a lifestyle. And that's your first blank there, and that's this. First of all, when you pray, you need to have a certain place. A certain place. And so what I'm saying is we need to make an appointment with God and keep it. You know, maybe you need to put there on your calendar God. So you have a certain time that you make an appointment with God. Did I say that right? A certain time. You need a certain time. Did I get ahead of myself? That's right. I got people in the back helping me. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Okay, number one, a certain time. A certain time. Slow down. I'll be all right. We need to have a certain time where we make an appointment with God and keep it. Put it on your calendar. Just say, God. And if you got something that comes up, I got to do this. I have an appointment. You know, and if you freak them out, you could just say, I got an appointment with God. And they'll say, really? Okay. But really, and I don't know what time that is for you. For a lot of people, it's good to do it in the morning. First of all, I think it gives him first place. I think in every area of our life, in our finances, in our time, in everything we do, he needs to be first. First. It's something happens when you put him first, because when you give him the first, there is then the blessing of the rest, all right? And he blesses our life when we put him first. It says, God, you're Lord of all. It honors him. So, but it may not be that the morning works for you, but set a time and make an appointment with God. Look at Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree, and that was this decree that came out that said that you can't pray anymore to your God, that you can't bow to him. It says when this decree came out and had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. And it says that three times a day he got on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Now notice it was as he had done before. Daniel was in a routine of prayer. And we need a routine. We need a certain time that's God's time. And don't let anything else violate that. In fact, Mark chapter 1, I'm getting ahead of myself again. Let me just stay on track here. So we need a certain time. So secondly, and that's this, we need a certain place. We need a certain place. And so we need to have a place where we go and pray. One song puts it this way, I go to the garden alone. You remember that song? Well, the dew is still on the, right, on the roses. And there in that place I meet with God. There is a certain place that we have. And Bible even tells us to have a certain place and gives us examples of that. It may be that we go into a prayer closet. Now, it doesn't have to literally be a prayer closet. I've heard about some that that's it. That's really it. This is their closet. They go in there and pray. They just get down there with all the shoes, tissue, turn the light, and pray. And that's their prayer closet. Fortunately for us, we live near the church, and we can just come, my family, we can just come right here early in the morning and pray, and that's what we do. But have you a place? Have you a place where you pray? Have a strategic place where you pray, where you're oriented towards prayer. You know, you might even get a map and put it on the wall in that place and pray over areas of our city, or pray for neighborhoods that are in need, and be strategic about that. Have a place. Jesus had a place. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went to a solitary place where he prayed. Some people think that was the Mount of Olives. It was at a location geographically that kind of was elevated, and could also, you could see Jerusalem, you could see the Temple Mount there. He had a place where he could overlook the city, and he could pray over the city and pray for the needs of his city. And we need to be people that have a certain place to be able to do that. The third thing that I want to give you, just practical, and that is have a certain plan. Have a plan when you go to prayer. And this will make your prayer more effective. I know I'm meeting with my staff now every Monday evening. We do it via Google Hangout, if you know what that is. We can see each other. We have a plan. What I've realized is it goes a lot more effective if I have a plan to it. I send them an agenda, what we're going to talk about, and we know where we're going with it, and we have a plan. Well, in prayer, it's the same way. We need to have a plan. Look at Luke chapter 11, where Jesus was teaching them how to pray, and he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. And so the Lord here is not just saying, again, repeat this prayer, but he is giving them a plan of how to pray. To pray these areas over your life. Talked about that last week. And so I want to encourage you with that. And so we actually have made available through our website a prayer guide that you can go to that gives the example of the Lord's Prayer. Also, the tabernacle prayer that you can use and pray through that during your prayer time. Or take a prayer journal and have a prayer list. I want to encourage you, have a prayer list. You should see my wife's prayer list. It's this thing that just keeps growing and growing and growing. And she comes over here every morning and just prays over the needs. I want to tell you, every one of you are getting prayed for every day in this church. And we're praying over your needs together, just believing God for great things in your life. But you need to have a list, right? Pray over that list and pray for the leaders of this church and pray for the government and pray for people on your job. Pray for your family members and just pray. Have a prayer list. I want to tell you what praying for others will do. Prayer will replace worry. Sometimes we spend more time worrying about something than we do praying about it. Prayer will replace worry. In fact, prayer will do something else. Prayer will replace a critical spirit. And sometimes we just want to complain. And see, that's what God's people did named Israel. Remember? They just did nothing but complain, and he couldn't do anything with them. But I'm going to tell you, when you engage in prayer, God give us a generation, raise up a generation in this place that prays and intercedes, and no matter what the difficulty is, no matter what's going on, we take it to God, we keep focused on God, and rather than criticizing, we're looking to the God who's able to do all things and make all things possible, right? Prayer will do that. So pray and have a plan to that prayer. Let me throw one out to you, and I touched on this a little bit last week, but I want to say it again, and that is that we need to pray first. That needs to be a rally cry at our church, and that is pray first. I've told you I've got a little wristband here that says pray first. I'm teasing you with it, but I'm going to get you some of those. Eventually, we're going to make up some of these that says pray first, just as a reminder that whatever you're going through, pray first. It needs to be our first response. So before our business appointments, before the secretary sends that appointment in, we're praying first. Before we send the kids out to school, we pray over them first. Before we take that or make that phone call, we pray first. Before we send that email or that text or that tweet, we pray over it. Amen. You know, before we travel, before we head out in our cars on vacation, we pray first. Before we walk in the door or our job, we pray first. Y'all a little weak on that. We pray first, right? Pray first, not last, but pray first. And I want to tell you, great things will happen. I'm going to give you this verse one more time. I gave this to you last week as well, but I really want to emphasize this from 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It says this. It says that when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain or command locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people. Freeze it right there. Stay on that verse right there. First, that means that when you're having trouble, when things are going wrong, when the doctor gives you a bad report, when you got the bad news, when things are going backwards instead of forward, when things are really happening bad around you, here's what you're to do. Next verse goes on to say, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. When we call out to him, everything begins to change. There's a God. Listen, everybody, there's not just a prayer that we pray. There's a God that hears, and there is a God who answers. There's a God who cares about us, but he wants us to give him permission. He already wants to. He wants us to give him permission to move on our behalf. In fact, the Bible says his eyes roam throughout the earth looking to see whom he may show himself strong on their behalf, whose heart is perfect towards him. In other words, our heart is turned to him. Our eyes are looking to him for help. And when we look to him for help, it gives him the permission. Because what do you mean permission? Because he's given us a will, and God has a will, but he will not violate our will. And by prayer, we release him to say, God, we come in. Come into this situation. Move on our behalf. God, we need you. And that's what prayer does. It opens up that channel where God says, now you're aligning yourself with my will. I already want to do these things in your life. And you get your will out of the way, and his will comes. Come on, great things happen. Are anybody feeling this morning? So look, our first response needs to be to pray. Me and my wife actually we're confronting different things on many levels. I'm sure just like you are. From home to work to church, you know, to every area of our life. And I and my wife and I, we'll look at each other, you know. And my wife's response always to me is, all I know is we just need to pray. We just need to pray. All I know is we just need to pray, because prayer is going to change things. I'll talk about, well, maybe I need to have this conversation with this person or that person. Maybe I need to go try to fix this. She says, all I know is we just need to pray. Because listen, our words might hit their ear, but it's only God's Spirit that's going to hit their heart, right? And so we need God's Spirit to intervene. And God can move into the heart of the king. The Bible says he goes into the king's chamber. He goes in places where we can't go, and he turns hearts and he changes lives. So our first response needs to be prayer. Let me give you some things that I think we need to pray about first. Number one, pray first for our nation. Pray first for our nation. Look, everybody, our nation is in peril and is in great need of a living God to intervene in many areas of our nation. And I'm not suggesting that we just get off in our political corners and complain about every other party and everybody and every politician and all what's going on and all of that. You know, listen, that never solved anything. But I want to tell you what will change things, and that is prayer. Prayer will change things. And so oftentimes we I'm not saying not be a part of the process. You know, we got some election times coming up, and people are starting to run for office and all this stuff. But I want to tell you, our hope is not in the election process. Everybody, yeah, come on, getting quiet here. The solution is not in the election process. Now, I'm not saying not be a part of the process. In fact, I think we should be a part of the process. Some people want to complain about things, but they're never part of the process. They don't vote. I mean, vote. I'm not telling you how to vote. Vote how God would lead you to vote, but be a part of the process. I understand that in one election recently, it was 17 million Christians that did not vote, and 9 million of those weren't even registered. So vote, okay? Be a part of the process. Do what God's called you to do, but at the end of the day, look, the Bible teaches us that we're not to look into the hills, but we look beyond the hills from which comes our help. Our help comes from the Lord. So our help is not in Capitol Hill. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Amen? And so we lift up our eyes to him. He is our hope. He is our salvation. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says this, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Everybody say everyone. For kings and for all those in authority. Everybody say all those in authority. All right? So we don't pick and choose who we're going to pray for, right? That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And there's the result. So we're to pray for everyone. And say, well, I don't want to pray for who I'm against. That's my enemy. Even the Bible says pray for your enemies, if you consider them your enemies. So we need to be praying for everyone. We need to be praying for the president. We need to be praying for the Supreme Court. We need to be praying for our governor and our mayor and our city leaders. Amen? We need to be praying for them. Well, I don't want to pray for them. We need to pray for them. That's what we just read, wasn't it? And all those in authority, right? And so we need to be praying that God would intervene and God would, look, come on, let's just pray that God will bless America, right? I mean, is that still okay to say? We need to pray, God bless America. Now, we're not saying, God, tear them down, replace them, get my guy in there, my gal in there. No, we're saying, God, bless them and help them and lead them and guide them and speak in their life and intervene. And if you feel like they're not where they need to be, God, step in the midst of it and turn their heart around. You can do it. You can go into the king's chamber. Amen. We need to be praying for people. The Bible doesn't call us to curse them. The Bible calls us to bless them. Amen. Bless your enemies, even if you think they're your enemies. Bless everybody, right? So we're called to be a blessing, to bless one another, right? In fact, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 11 says this, through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. We need to bless them. Bless. God, help us. I'm just praying, while we talked about a couple weeks ago about the prayer of Jabez, I'm just praying that, God, you will bless me, and bless me indeed that I can be a blessing. Not so I can just have more. I don't need more. No, that I have more to give away. God, bless our church so that we can not just be surviving, but that we can be thriving. And that we can not just be blessed, but that we can be a blessing. That we can impact our community. That we can impact this campus. I pray over this campus that we'll be a blessing. I pray that it will become more cool, listen, to be a Christian and live for Jesus than to go have a beer fest at UNC Charlotte. Amen? Can I get a good amen right there? Come on. We need to be praying. God, help us be blessed. And they're coming back. They'll be back here. Students are coming back this weekend. They're starting school tomorrow. I'm going to be here registering them. This place is going to be packed during the week with students parking here. God, y'all pray for me that as I'm sitting out here at this connection table and those others that will be helping me, that we will be a blessing. We can speak life into them and there'll be a God connection. God will give us divine appointments and we'll see lives change for eternity. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So look at the second point, and that is this. Pray first for my family. So we're going to pray first for our nation, and then let's pray first for my family. Pray for your family. And I don't know what it looks like in your house. You may think that every Christian is supposed to have the family where they gather around the table or the couch in the living room, and we have the family devotions. And let's be realistic. All of our families don't look like that. My family doesn't look like that. Just to encourage you a little bit. You think, well, I feel condemned because I don't have family devotions. Look, we don't have family devotions. I'm the pastor, okay? So that's terrible. We have, well, it just works a little bit different in my house. First of all, they hear me preach every Sunday. They don't want to hear me preach when I come home. You know, it's like, okay, Dad, we've heard this one before. We'll listen to it on the website. We'll go back and listen to that again if we need to. It's a little more fluid, but I want to tell you, you need to have prayer in your homes. You need to not be screaming at your kids when they go out the door and saying, get out the door, get to school, you're going to be late. No, it needs to be, God bless you, have a blessed day in Jesus' name. No, I'm going to get to school, you know. But we need to be praying. It needs to be fluid. Kim and I, I'll just tell you this, I'm just being a little transparent here. Kim and I don't just sit down and for hours and have prayer together, the two of us. She has her prayer time, I have my prayer time. You know, we have things we agree about. We have things we're praying about, we talk to each other about. We might have times we pray together, but it's fluid, okay? So I don't want you to see this thing as some legalistic, regimented, you know, structure thing that, man, I got to just really fall in this strict. No, I don't want to, but what I do want to say is your children need to hear you pray. It needs to be a priority in your home. You need to be praying over things. When there's an issue that comes up, come on, between a husband and a wife, you need to be saying, first thing, what do? Pray. Pray first. So the first thing we need, let's pray about that. There's a conflict with the kids. Let's pray about that. There's a kid picking on your kid. Let's pray for that kid. Come on. Prayer needs to be a part of our home. It needs to be saturated. It needs to be a lifestyle in everything that we do. I pray for my kids at bedtime. I pray for them as I'm leaving in the morning and pray over our children. Yeah, I heard about husbands and wives who actually they come in sometimes for counseling, and I heard his pastor say that when couples come in for counseling he's tried this strategy. First thing he says to them is, okay, first thing we do, I want you to do, I want each of you to pray out loud for the other person. And they're thinking, I ain't doing that. I hate him. I hate her. I'm upset with him. I'm going to pray the fleas of 1,000 camels infest his armpits. That's what I'm going to pray, you know. I ain't going to pray for him. I'm ill to him right now. But what will happen if they'll be willing to do it, they begin to pray for each other. And they begin to break down. They begin to see the needs of the other person, that God begins to move in their heart, and their heart begins to change right there in this place of prayer. Come on, it's prayer that will change you. It's prayer that will cause your heart to change. And I heard this pastor say he's done that, and when they get through praying, he says, well, pretty much just do what you just said. See you next week. You know, pray for it. Prayer will change our lives. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14 says, remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your home. So we need to intercede for our family, right? So prayer gets the heart right. Number three, and that is pray first for the lost. Pray first for the lost. Let me just tell you this. God is interested in the lost. You know, it's kind of rude if you get into a conversation and all you want to talk about is what interests you, isn't it? You know, God has an interest, and he's interested in something. That is souls. That is the lost. And so we need to spend time talking about what's on God's mind, what's on his mind. Lost people. It's about lost people. I'm going to tell you something. The greatest thing that you can ever experience in this life is salvation. It's coming to Jesus, having your sins removed, having your life cleansed, and all that junk just getting out of your life and being free in him. There's nothing like serving Jesus. Nothing like coming to him. I'm going to tell you, but we've experienced that. What a great salvation. But there's others that are still in bondage. There are others that are still blinded. There are others that are dead, the Bible says, in their sins. And we need to be people that are concerned about the lost. So we need to pray for the lost. Matthew chapter 9 says this. When he saw the crowds, he, speaking of Jesus, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. They were harassed. Listen to this. This is not in your notes, but listen to this verse again. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. It goes on to say what we're to do about that. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So we're praying, Lord, send out laborers into your harvest. We're praying over that. That's why, and this may sound like another church announcement, but that's why we have today's Dream Team 401. It's not just another church announcement. Actually, it's a response to Jesus' prayer. And so, let me just say this. I'll say this right. We don't need your help as much as we all need to respond to the prayer of Jesus to be laborers in the harvest field. Right? Right? And so Dream Team 401 gives you the chance to come and be the answer to the prayer of Jesus. So what I'm begging you to do is, come on, be a part of what God's called us to do and find your place in ministry. And it's not about what we need, it's about what you need and about also what the world needs. And when you find your place and fulfill what God's called you to do, then God's going to enable you to do your part in bringing someone into the kingdom of God, no matter what that is. It may be stuffing worship guides. It may be holding a baby in a nursery so a mom in here can hear the message of Jesus for the first time and give her life to Jesus, right? So everybody has a part to play. In fact, at the end of your notes there's some blanks there. I'd encourage you to write some names down of the harassed and the helpless, those that are sheep without shepherds, and let that begin to be your prayer list, strategically praying over those people. So we're going into September, and we're going into harvest mode, okay? Harvest mode. And so I want to encourage you to pray over the harvest. Pray over those that's on that list. And listen, don't just pray for them. Now be the answer to your own prayer. You're saying, God, bring them here. And then God's saying, okay, you're the answer for that. You bring them. Can I get a good amen right there? Bring them. Bring them. People say, well, nobody's here. Well, I want to say, who did you bring today? Who did you invite today? Bring them. The Bible says compel them to come, right, to him. So bring them with you. So invite them to come and bring them. And I always say this, I promise, when you bring them, we're going to honor them. We're going to respect them. We're not going to embarrass you or embarrass them. We're going to do our best to present the gospel in a clear message and give the salvation message. We're coming up on a series this fall called You Ask For It, based on some things that a survey that we did at Easter about what you would like to hear about, but we're going to present through that and answer your own questions, just as they brought things to Jesus for him to answer. When they would, sometimes the disciples would set the agenda and say, Jesus, what about this? And he would teach them on that. That's what we're going to do in this series. But we're going to be it's going to be a life-giving message. And as we present that, we're going to give them an opportunity to come to Christ. Bring them. Don't just leave them here, but sit with them. Befriend them. Care for them. And when we ask at the end of the service for raised hands, I give you, if you brought somebody, to peek. And when you see the friend that you brought, the tear come down their face, and they give their life to Christ, you're going to say, that's the best service I've ever been in, because you saw your friend's life change forever and because of your invitation and because of what God did in their heart. Amen, everybody? All right, that's what we're trying to do. Let me give you this last point, and that is pray first for my needs. Finally, pray for my needs, right? So pray first when you got a need. You know, you got a physical need. I'm not saying don't take medicine. I take medicine too. Okay, let's be real. All right? But we're going to pray first. God bless this aspirin that works and gets rid of my headache. You know, we're going to pray. We're going to pray first. And do what we need to do to resolve an issue. If there's an issue in our life or a situation, and God uses us to resolve those things, but pray first. Philippians chapter 4 says this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And look at the result. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Your life's going to change if you pray first. Prayer, I said this last week, I'm just going to throw this out there again this week. Prayer should be our first response and not our last resort. Let me give you this last blank here, and that's this. Enjoy a close relationship with God through a lifestyle of prayer. Say, I'm just not close to God. I just feel like He's there and I'm here. You can enjoy. I just underline that word enjoy. Enjoy. It's not just something you got to do on your checklist. No, it's a lifestyle. Being in communion with God constantly. Enjoy a close relationship with God through a lifestyle of prayer. Be an intercessor. Get in a small group of prayer. Be a prayer shield. Find some area in the church that you want to be the prayer shield over that group, and you're going to pray God's blessings and protection over the, maybe it's the praise team, maybe it's the greeters, maybe it's those that work in the children's ministries, but be a prayer shield. 2 Corinthians says this, and I love this. The amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Be with all of you. Just hold that verse right there. And look at that. I want you to realize this. Prayer is not just words. It's a conversation with a living God. We've talked about the pattern and the priority of prayer. But really, prayer is about discovering the person of prayer. The person of the triune God. And this verse just wraps all that up in a beautiful package. It says, through this thing called prayer, we can experience the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. And He becomes the master of it all. It means He's in control, not us. Through prayer, we give Him control. Through prayer, we experience the extravagant love of God. And that's where praise turns into worship. It becomes really intimate, and where God really reveals His love for you. And then the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit, who God's sent to be in us. Listen, it isn't just about God wanting to clean us out, but God wants to fill us up with His presence. And He says, all this, may this be with you. May you experience His amazing grace, His extravagant love, His intimate friendship. Would you bow your heads with me? And all this begins, talking about prayer, but it all begins with this, and that is that we just, to know God. God gave us this thing called prayer that we could know Him, and sent His Son that we could know Him. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I've come to reveal who He is to you. God wants us to know Him. And that's really where it all begins. And perhaps you're here today and you feel like you just don't know Him, or you feel like He's way somewhere else and I'm not even sure He knows where I am and what I'm going through. I
I want to tell you, God's desire is for you to be close to Him and to be in a close relationship. And it all begins at this place of prayer. In fact, it begins with a prayer of surrender, where we say, God, I give you my life. And we invite Him to come live inside of us, to cleanse us, to empty us out, to clean us out, and to fill us up with Him. Fill us up with the mind of Christ. Fill us up with His Holy Spirit. To come live inside of us, so that now, because of His sacrifice on the cross, our bodies become a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto Him, which is, the Bible says, is our reasonable service. God's able to do that when we come to this place of simply surrendering to Him in prayer. I want to give an opportunity today to just for you to pray that kind of prayer. And if you're here today and you're not where you need to be with God, maybe you've never been in a relationship with God and you know that this is for you and you need, this is what you need. You need Him. And the Holy Spirit's revealed that to you. I want to help lead you in a prayer. It may be that you've been in a relationship with God, but you know that you're not where you need to be and you're ready to recommit today. It all begins with just this simple prayer that I'm going to just help you with the words. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if that's you and you say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in that prayer? I'd like you just to slip up a hand and you can put it right back down. I'll be and let me just know who I'm agreeing with in prayer. God bless you today. I'm proud of you. Anyone else? Just slip up a hand. Say, that's me, Pastor. There's some things I need to surrender today. Just slip up a hand and put it right back down. God bless you today. Yes, I see your hand. Right where you're seated, let me lead you in this prayer. And if you didn't even raise your hand, but you know you need to pray this prayer, just pray this with us right there from your heart. Just simply pray a prayer like this. Just say, Lord Jesus, today I surrender my life to you. Every area of my life, I invite you to come in, be the Lord of my life. Take control. I turn from my ways and my past. I accept that you paid for all of my past and all of my sin when you died on the cross for me. You paid for it in full, and by faith I accept that. I turn from that and I turn to you. I invite you to be the Lord of my life, and right now, say this prayer. Say, I give you my life. I give you my life, and I accept you as Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for coming in, being the Lord of my life.